What's your IQ? You may never have had your intelligence measured, but these tests can have an outsized influence on a person's education and career. So how reliable are they? Author Pepper Stetler sought to find out in her new book, A Measure of Intelligence, One Mother's Reckoning with the IQ Test. Pepper is an associate professor of art history and the associate director of the Humanities Center at Miami University in Ohio. She's written for publications including The New York Times, The Atlantic, and Slate, and she joins us now to share five of her key insights.
Hi, readers. I'm Pepper Stetler, a writer, professor, mother, and disability advocate. I'm here to share with you five of the key insights from my new book, A Measure of Intelligence, One Mother's Reckoning with the IQ Test. Insight number one, even if you've never taken an IQ test, its values shape the world in which you live. I never really thought about IQ tests until Louisa, my amazing daughter, took one before she started kindergarten. Louisa has Down syndrome, and the IQ test was required for her first Individualized Education Plan, or IEP, a document that helps her access the support she needs to learn and grow in a classroom with her peers. I was unnerved by how my daughter's education depended on the results of this test. But through research and dozens of interviews with psychologists, I soon learned that IQ tests are a highly valued tool of educational and psychological evaluation. I also began to realize that our modern world has been shaped to value the kinds of skills and abilities, like speed, efficiency, and short-term memory, that are evaluated on an IQ test. Beyond the more structured context of psychological evaluation, IQ tests have shaped how we have designed our education system, what we think of as good parenting, and generally what it means to be a successful person. The psychologists who developed IQ tests in the early 20th century did more than draft tools of assessment. They established the ways we still understand and value intelligence, who is and who is not given opportunities to be successful, and who gets to have access to the best education possible. Insight number two. IQ tests developed as a tool of the eugenics movement in the early 20th century. When I was researching and writing A Measure of Intelligence, I kept noticing so many ways in which our understanding of intelligence in the 21st century holds on to ideas of the past. IQ tests emerged at a moment of great social upheaval and shifts in American identity due to immigration and the great migration of Black Americans from the South to industrial cities in the North. IQ tests became a tool to identify genetic inferiority and degeneracy, thanks in large part to the efforts of Henry Goddard, who served as director of research at the training school in Vineland, New Jersey. In 1912, the United States Public Health Service invited Goddard to Ellis Island to administer IQ tests to the wave of immigrants entering the country. He concluded that a whopping 79% of Italians, 80% of Hungarians, and 83% of Jews were feeble-minded. But these absurdly high percentages did nothing to temper the nation's belief in the accuracy of IQ tests. Goddard and other psychologists presented IQ tests as scientific evidence that some children were unable to learn. He encouraged educators to stop wasting their time and resources on educating those he called feeble-minded, who were often recent immigrants or Black Americans. Goddard's use of the IQ test also advocated for the forced sterilization of those with low IQ scores. Despite deep flaws in the methods and accuracy of the test, low IQ scores justified the segregation and mistreatment of kids with intellectual disabilities and children of color in the American school system. These practices have not fully disappeared. For example, a study conducted by the Government Accountability Office in 2018 found that Black students, boys, and students with disabilities were disproportionately the focus of disciplinary action in public schools. In 2007, the U.S. Department of Education found that Black students were three times more likely to be identified as intellectually disabled than white students. Psychologists rarely acknowledge the dark history of IQ testing, but the power of IQ tests have created a system of education that privileges those that already have the most advantages, white, upper-middle-class students. Insight number three, IQ tests both limit and facilitate opportunities for people with intellectual disabilities. As I learned more about the history of IQ tests, I grew more anxious about whether I wanted Louisa to take them. But I also realized the bind that the system of evaluation puts us in. If I objected to the IQ test, it could threaten Louisa's access to the support she needs to learn in a classroom with her peers. But I worried that I was exposing her to a lifetime of judgment and determinations based on stereotypes and assumptions. Her IQ might be noted by any caseworker, job coach, employer, or doctor that she is dependent on in the course of her life. Yet if my daughter's school record failed to show the expected evaluation on her IEP, there might be questions later about her eligibility for certain services that she might need. I wrote A Measure of Intelligence as a way to fight back against a system that seems to offer few options for my daughter to be seen as an individual rather than a number. I realized that the way we understand intelligence was restricting her potential. In order to create a more equitable world, we need to restructure how we value intelligence. Insight number four, intelligence is as much a product of our society's values as it is an inherited genetic trait. Psychologists like Goddard developed IQ tests because they believed that intelligence was a biological trait that could be measured like a heartbeat or a breath. This belief persists today. Many researchers are searching for a specific combination of genes that determines our intellectual capacities. But a measure of intelligence examines intelligence as a product of history rather than an outcome of nature. This does not mean that I deny that some people do better on IQ tests than others, and it certainly does not deny that my daughter Louisa's particular struggles with the kinds of skills tested on an IQ test are a result of her genetic differences. But how we value intelligence and how those values shape our world can shift and change. This is a good thing. If we shift the way we value and define intelligence, we can provide opportunities to more people, especially to those whose value and worth are so rarely acknowledged under our current regime of intelligence. Insight number five, we can rethink the way we define intelligence. What if intelligence testing did not measure human worth, but how well we take care of one another? Or how well someone is being supported by their family, their school, and their community. I talked with psychologists who are changing perceptions about what we think we learn about a person from IQ tests. Many of them are envisioning a future in which we emphasize the assessment of how well a person is getting her needs met in a certain environment. This shift in emphasis is crucial because it puts the burden on an environment, a set of social circumstances, to change rather than the person. While traditional ideas about intelligence prioritize superiority, independence, and self-sufficiency, new ways of assessment value interdependence and social connections. Many psychologists I talk to don't care at all about the overall IQ score. Instead, they are working to improve the way that IQ tests can provide information about particular cognitive strengths and weaknesses. Their work gives me hope that my Louisa's amazing abilities will be seen and valued in the future more than her test score. But psychologists are only involved in intelligence up to a point. Real change will require a concerted effort, not just by psychologists, but by educators, physicians, policymakers, service and support providers, and really every one of us to rethink how we measure intelligence. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy A Measure of Intelligence, One Mother's Reckoning with the IQ Test.
Thank you, Pepper. That was Pepper Stettler with 5 big ideas from A Measure of Intelligence, One Mother's Reckoning with the IQ Test. Also, check out our book bite for The Hidden Habits of Genius, Beyond Talent, IQ, and Grit, Unlocking the Secrets of Greatness by Craig Wright. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.